Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Joe Rex Road, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry, Michelle. Michelle, a few minutes ago, I was like, you guys going to, you know, open the Zoom links? And then I was like, yeah, we're messing around. And then I just forgot again immediately. So. Did it like when the show began? Was
yep, we got you perfectly on time. Wow. It was Robbie's face only for about 30 seconds.
Nobody wants to see that.
And I'm giving Joe the eyes through the thing. I'm like, is he going to hop on?
Hello?
Is he going to do it?
Hello?
And then I just told him about this.
And on the stream, then that means that Robbie's face is twice the normal size. Is that right?
Which, again, is not good.
Expands. Yeah. So, anyway. Good.
You fixed it. You saved me.
Yeah. No one wants that. I'm not saying your face. No one wants their face. No one wants their face that big on a Twitter, whatever you call that.
Stream.
Box.
Video stream. Yeah, yeah. Box.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So we're good now.
Michelle, what's going on? How are you?
Guys, oh, great this Sorry. Morning. It's okay. We'll fix it in a second. Great this morning. I have my large latte, which is worth the splurge. It's fabulous. And I have the whole... family coming in this morning for a full tourist girls trip.
Ooh.
So I'm excited but also scared because there's like 11 of us. Yep. So it's going to be a great weekend on Broadway.
As a native Nashvillian, generally speaking, this is my least favorite weekend of the entire year because of all these people here for CMA Fest. And somehow, Joe Rex.
Joe didn't even know.
It is in the plans for me to end up downtown twice this weekend.
Oh,
two
really?
Separate days.
Well, Robbie.
I don't know how I've allowed this to happen to myself, but I have.
For tonight, specific things?
There are some birthday celebrations tonight that are taking place. And then on Sunday, I'm going to one of the concerts. I don't know how this has happened.
Okay.
But it has.
Wow.
So I'm going to be down there in the mix with all the tourists.
And that's why your people are coming?
Yes,
I mean, primarily.
All the aunts, the girl cousins.
It's all women.
Heck yeah.
Okay,
there cool.
Well, my one cousin, Brian, might be driving down from Louisville, so he might be the straggler, but it's okay.
Are you guys going to do like a t-shirt? I mean, I know it's not a bachelorette party, but like, no?
No, okay. No.
I will
God.
Say.
Oh, God, Joe, no.
If you've never experienced it, like, it's pretty cool, the CMA Fest stuff. Like, it's pretty cool. Now, I've experienced it like 8 times, so it's not really that cool anymore to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I heard traffic yesterday is not great. So we'll see.
I've experienced it in tandem with the Stanley Cup final. That was interesting.
That's scary.
That was amazing.
There was a lot of people.
I don't even know how that, how you couldn't, you really couldn't move.
You really couldn't.
On Broadway.
It was not good.
Like all the way up and down Broadway. Speaking of that, am I off here or... Are there fewer cars on the road? Are you noticing? Like, for me, driving in here, I'm seeing, like, way fewer cars than I'm used to seeing lately.
School's out. Like, it may be what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, like, the buses sometimes are part of it, but I guess that. But, like, how many people are doing school stuff at 5:30
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know what I mean?
I have no idea.
I'll just say you're on the earlier side today, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, whatever the range is, and typically, I mean, as people don't know, sometimes we have our pre-show meeting for hours, and then we break, you can go, take
a
little break.
Joe gets coffee, Michelle goes and gets coffee. Go
get a little Waffle House, whatever the case may be. Then
Joe goes to work out.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. I go do Pilates.
And you run 4 miles.
Right, yeah, then come back. But, no, I don't know, I just.
I don't know what Izzo does.
He's got to research for the show. I don't know. It just seems to me like there are, and maybe it's just like some people who have the option of like not come, or just like because of gas prices, or just not driving, or something. I don't know. Maybe I am confusing this, or I'm off. But
guys, over $6 in Indiana.
Nice. In Indiana?
Yeah.
Well, it's always worse there, like where, like in Michigan, and yeah. That is always way worse than us. So
I was driving around the other day. I looked up and I said, "Oh man, it's only $4.39." I was like, "What's happened to me? Only $4.39? Right. Right. What's going
pump
on over
fist.
Here?"
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, across the street here, I'm jumping on that as soon as the show ends.
Me too. My gas.
It's not great, but I'll jump on it. The big 465.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. All right.
Throw a parade.
Yeah. And drive to Knoxville and burn a lot of gas.
Oh, yes. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, your New York Rangers have allowed the Tampa Bay Lightning to take a stranglehold back on this series. They win both games at home to even up 2-2, and then last night in Game 5, the two-time reigning Stanley Cup champions go on the road, and they were suffocating last night. They win 3-1. Up 3-2, going back home for Game 6. So three wins in a row for the Lightning, and that's a tough one to let get away last night if you're the New York Rangers.
As soon as that icing, and I'm like, oh, man, and here come the big boys, and you're stuck out there with them. I was like, if they somehow don't let them score here, maybe they have a chance. Yep, see ya. I've reached acceptance. You know, it was a great run for the Rangers. Good for them. And, you know, look. Game 6, hey, you win one game, and you never know. But
I mean, the Rangers have been down 3-1 once in this postseason.
That's true. They've been very resilient. So I'm not 100% closing the door on them, but I'm moving toward, you know what, embracing Lightning Avalanche, because Lightning Avalanche would be a very good Stanley Cup final.
Other than the one that I covered here in the Stanley Cup final, which was exciting more for personal reasons to be able to cover a Stanley Cup final, if it's Tampa Bay and Colorado, I don't really remember the last time I will be as excited for a Stanley Cup final as that one. I mean, there have been some good ones over the years, but Tampa Bay, Colorado, you got two-time champs against an absolute wagon out there in Colorado. I mean, they are unbelievable. So, again, I'm not putting the cart before the horse. I think, you know, the Rangers are really good. They've responded all five times so far when their backs have been against the wall in the playoffs. So it's not like they're just going to roll over coming up in Game 6. But if it ends up being Tampa Bay, Colorado, I'd be pretty excited about that one.
Yeah. Now that you mention that, I'm trying to think, like what's the last matchup that was like that? Because you always forget. But like, seems like in a lot of years, there's just one team in there that's a little bit of a – I mean, it's always like a great story, but not necessarily like, oh, this is the best two teams. I mean, like when the Blackhawks and Lightning met in 15, you know, this is obviously kind of the early stages of this group.
Yep.
But that wasn't.
Honestly, for me, I'd probably have to go back to 09, Pittsburgh-Detroit, round two.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yep.
I was in Pittsburgh for Game 7, by the way.
Were you?
Watching with Katie and a bunch of Penguins fans. Being very obnoxious and then having to eat it that night. Yeah. But you're right. That was a great one. Red Wings going for the repeat and somehow losing at home in Game 7. But most years there's one team or the other, I feel like it's kind of like a clear underdog.
Yeah.
I guess. You know, I mean, how many years have we had where it's like two sort of surprise teams, and that happens some too. I mean, I'm trying to think like you know, that when the Kings made that incredible run, you know, the Rangers, yeah. No, I mean this is an all timer for recent times if it happens, and we're already shoveling dirt on the Rangers. But if it happens, I'd be very excited about it. And I don't know. I think the Avalanche are just—they are flat out the best team right now. However, if Tampa Bay continues to do this, it's kind of what you've been saying.
That will be 11.
Show me the team that beats them four times.
That'll
show
be 11 playoff series in a row if they win this one. It's pretty good.
That's again in this era, pretty darn good.
Game four coming up tonight in the NBA Finals. Celtics leading the series 2-1. They've got a chance to go up 3-1 tonight at home at TD Garden. Early call your shot Friday. I think Golden State wins tonight. I think they respond, and the series is even up at 2. But if they don't, they're in a whole world of trouble going back to Golden State for game 5.
Yeah, it seems good on the Steph Curry front.
Yeah.
Moving pretty well. I mean, he's got a foot sprain. But honestly, when he got rolled up on, I thought, uh-oh, knee, what's going on there, you know? So he's going to have to be great. I think this is a big Steve Kerr night to me. Like, you got to – to me, I'd try Jonathan Kuminga. I would. I know that offensively he's not totally polished yet. I think he's going to be a great player, or a really good player for a long time at least. But defensively, they've got to figure somebody who – cannot let Tatum or Brown just blow by them to all of a sudden get you rotating defensively. They're struggling on that end. And they're great on that end.
I think Draymond's been practicing like the Oklahoma drill today. Get ready for game 4 tonight. He's throwing them around the other night.
Yeah,
well, it was pretty funny.
What he needs to practice is boxing out.
Yeah, he does need to do that.
You know, Robert Williams is about, 8 inches taller than him. So you better put your butt into that guy.
Yeah.
You know, better nip it in the butt. Because, he got asked after the game, how'd you play? Like bleep.
Yes.
Hey.
Some colorful t-shirts being made of Draymond.
Is that right? What about the whole, F you Draymond chant in the arena? What do you guys think about that?
It's Boston, man. It's what they do.
It is, but, I actually agree. This Christopher Gasper, he's a columnist up there. He's like, why not just do, Draymond sucks or, Draymond, Daryl Strawberry or something? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are kids. Am I a
look? I'm with you.
There are kids in the audience.
I agree.
You have to all scream the F bomb.
I mean, Klay Thompson wasn't a big fan of it after the game.
Yeah, and keep it classy, Boston.
Yeah, it's okay.
We would expect it from Philly, but
it's just this would never have happened in my day. Okay.
Lawrence Bird would not have allowed this back in the day.
But back then, it was just somebody sucks. Blah, blah, sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. F you, blah, blah. Really?
But I actually don't think I've ever heard that before.
A whole stadium chanting that over and over. It's there are a bunch of kids here. I mean, I don't know. I'm a Puritan.
It's a strange time we're living in.
Hey, real quick, Johnny. Our buddy Johnny De Silveira, who lives in Canada, Western Canada, right?
Yeah.
He said if he gassed up this morning with conversion, it would have cost him $6.94 a gallon. So he's jealous of our four, almost five.
$7.45 in San Francisco.
Oof. Oh, so there you go. So I was going to say, is that worse than any place in the United States? But no, okay.
No, I was promised.
There's a lot of bad
flying cars when I was a child. We don't have those yet. So I don't think.
It's coming, man. It's coming soon.
We're off and running. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Game one coming up tonight in the Knoxville Super Regional with Tennessee taking on Notre Dame. We'll get into that matchup next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Game one of the Super Regional between the Tennessee Volunteers and Notre Dame coming up tonight at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Joe Rex Road will be in attendance for said game, said series this weekend.
Yes, looking forward to it.
It's going to be, I think, pretty good. Pretty good series out there. And Tony Vitello yesterday confirming the Game 1 and Game 2 starter for Tennessee. Blade Tidwell going tonight in Game 1 for the Vols. Chase Dolander going tomorrow in Game 2. So not like a huge surprise there. That's basically the way they handled it last weekend as well. So Tidwell tonight, Dolander coming up in Game 2, and then we'll see if a Game 3 is necessary over the weekend. But the starting pitching rotation for the Vols going about how I thought it would. Now we'll see, especially in the case of Dolander, was not his typical self last weekend. We'll see if he can respond coming up in Game 2. But Tidwell, got to be feeling pretty good going right now in Game 1 of this game. He pitched really well last weekend. Now, the quality of competition is about to be significantly different than it was this past weekend. But Tidwell, I would imagine, feeling pretty good, and it feels like that he is completely back to being himself now after being injured to start the season.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize this till recently, but Tidwell is draft eligible.
Yeah.
And he actually, some people think he could be the first pitcher taken. Not sure where that would be, but could be the first pitcher taken. So this could be, you know, will be, I think, his swan song. You know, of course, that's based on age for draft eligibility, not like years in college. So he's a sophomore, but eligible. Dolander, like I said, I mean, Tidwell dominated Alabama State, which is, you know, the four seeds in those regionals sometimes are not very good, and Alabama State was not, but still a confidence builder. And it's interesting that basically the team's aces this year, Dolander and John Michael Bertrand, who's a lefty with a 9.22 ERA, are going Saturday.
Yep.
So it's more now. Again, Dolander didn't have a great outing last week against Campbell, but hey, Campbell, those fighting Campbells are legit.
You just got to survive. That's all you got to do.
Hey, those guys can rake.
Yeah,
the fighting Camels. I mean, hashtag roll humps. I'm a believer after that.
Did you hear the line from Vitello yesterday about?
Apparently,
he was walking into the stadium last week, and somebody asked him if he'd rather play Campbell or Georgia Tech. And he'd say, well, would you rather be waterboarded by Aquafina or Dasani? Okay. Thank you, Tony.
I mean, man, does he write some of this stuff down?
He got like a book?
Yeah. I don't know. There's no way that just came to him, right? If it did, kudos to you, Tony Vitello, friend of the show. That's pretty good. So, Austin Temple tonight for Notre Dame, very good pitcher. I mean, this is where Notre Dame, I mean, Tennessee's much better team in overall performance this year. I think has more talent, better in any aspect. But where, you know what it is in baseball? I mean, if you've got that starting pitcher on the mound with his best stuff, and you've got guys who are top-line guys who you can throw out there to start, well, then you can take away a lot of those advantages. So Temple, Tidwell, Bertrand, Dolander, I mean, it should be, really good matchups. And that gives Notre Dame a chance here, just having those two starting pitchers. Now, if it gets to Sunday, Tennessee would rather it not get to Sunday, of course. But if it does get to Sunday, that's where with Notre Dame now, Tennessee has Drew Beam, friend of the show. They also have Chase Burns potentially, although I think Chase Burns is a little bit more of a strikeout guy, so I think he's going to be a handy, late inning relief piece.
My guess is we could see Chase Burns before Sunday.
Yeah,
as a relief piece.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance of that. So, if he got to Sunday, I think the Vols would feel good about Drew Beam. Dolander, Beam, they both had not great outings, and I think that was Dolander's postseason debut as well. I think so. I don't know if Georgia Southern made it last year. But it certainly is postseason debut for Tennessee. But both of them have, gotten through that, and now obviously Tennessee's hopes both respond. Although I guess they hope Beam doesn't pitch this weekend because that means that they sweep or they get swept, I suppose. So they hope he doesn't pitch for the right reason.
Yes. Well, that's the thing about this matchup is I think Tennessee, they have the better lineup. You're at home. You're going to have the crowd that's rocking tonight at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. There's a lot going well for you, but to your point, I mean, the great equalizer in baseball is if you got a starting pitcher that can just disrupt things, you could be in trouble, and that's what Notre Dame brings to the table on these first 2 days. So, I mean, I think it's going to be, I mean, logically, this series kind of tells me it's going to be a little different than the regional in terms of there's a whole lot of runs going up on the board in the regional, and I wouldn't be surprised if in this matchup you're talking, I mean, I'm sure every now and then you'll see some offensive explosions, but like if tonight's game ended up 5-4 rather than 12-8 or whatever it was last weekend, that probably wouldn't surprise me all that much.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that we'd probably see a little bit closer games, but it is Lindsey Nelson is still, there are the occasional warning track shot that finds its way outside the fence there, and then all of a sudden, things can go from there. Notre Dame referred to that this week. Their coach actually referred to it too. But one of the players about, Tennessee's power and sort of referring to the stadium, which is fine. But first of all, like, they hit bombs in other stadiums too. They play half the time away. Also, I mean, that's where Tennessee's mind-boggling to me is. I'm not surprised they have power numbers at Lindsey Nelson and all that stuff. I mean, they have ridiculous numbers, but, you know, to have the ERA they have,
yeah,
playing in that stadium, that's just crazy. But, you know, I feel like people, like Tennessee's probably going to use some of what Notre Dame said this week. Not that there was anything all that wild, but the one kid said, you know, they should be scared of us, yeah, or whatever. I'm sure Tennessee is talking actively about all that stuff.
Well, the coach, Link Jarrett, by the way, great, yeah, name. Link Jarrett.
Great name.
Kind of took the opposite approach. He called Tennessee not only the number one team in the country, but the number one team in all of college sports, yeah, that he's seen this year.
Yeah, best college sports team I've seen this year. So, yeah, he's trying to soften
them up a little bit.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's you know, the whole crowd thing too. You know that there was an article this week about how, like, you know, in other places, you know, you may find, like, you know, some fans who are welcoming and it's fun and all this, but this place is just, you know, not nice at all. And I'm like, first of all, I'd be willing to bet you that depending on where you sit in the stadium, it's probably just fine. Like, if you're right in the middle of the students down right field, okay, I can see that. But second of all, are other places all super nice and everything in the SEC? So, like, hey, come on in. Yay. It's only Tennessee that's nasty.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It seems a little bit like there's just a lot of people who I feel like, well, really dislike Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these things keep being talked about, and I think they're a little bit exaggerated. But maybe I'm just GB Joe.
Well, maybe so. The ticket prices for this weekend are pretty insane. Like,
more than last week?
Oh, yeah. There are some tickets that are, according to this piece from the Knoxville News Sentinel, you know, the priciest tickets, once again, are directly behind home plate. Quote, there are just two seats available in row E of the MVP 1 section. This is where each site's individual fees come into play, as they're available on SeatGeek for $652, but will cost as much as $963 on TicketSmarter, whatever that is.
Wow.
$963.
Wait.
So that's a big difference in fees, but yeah.
$300 in fees? Is that what that's saying?
What it says. Yeah.
My gosh. Is anybody paying that?
I don't know.
I mean, if you have the money to pay that, and you care about Tennessee baseball, aren't you already like in the booster, yeah, section anyway?
You think.
You know what I mean? Like, who's just like randomly like, hey, let's go check out a game.
I'll drop $1,000.
Yeah, $1,800.
Yeah.
Two tickets. It is per, right?
Yeah.
Wow, man. So I assume then that the overall average, like, get in there is up from last week?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing too. It's like, this is the last chance in that stadium to see a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And as we Drew Gilbert, man. Say goodbye to Drew Gilbert.
And as we found out last week, you never know quite what you'll see in that stadium. Sometimes it's great plays. Sometimes it's great moments running from first base to second base.
We were hanging out with one of our friends, huge UT grad, huge, huge Vols fan. She's like, you know, there's some talk on the internet that it actually wasn't his middle finger.
Really?
I'm like, you know, I love you, but please stop.
Video evidence.
Please stop. Well, they're saying it on the internet. I'm like, well, they say a lot.
Yeah, it was just a thumbs up, you know?
Good try, dude. Yeah. You almost caught that ball.
You.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Vols. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. One aspect of this weekend against Notre Dame that I'm very interested to see how Tennessee responds. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, how good has this Tennessee team been for college baseball as a whole? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. The Game, 102.9 The Buzz, and the Nashville Predators are hosting a 615-day celebration at Ford Ice Center in Antioch coming up on Wednesday, June 15th, starting at 10 a.m. with proceeds benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This event will feature fun and games for the whole family, giveaways, food, and ice skating opportunities. Also, right now, you can bid on silent auction items, which include Pret's autographed merchandise and more. And donations are being made and accepted for the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee as well. Just visit thegamenashville.com/615day. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/615day. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're looking ahead to the Super Regional for the Vols. Game one coming up tonight. 5 o'clock is the game time start here tonight in the Central Time Zone. It will be 6 o'clock for you, Rex Road, in the Eastern Time Zone.
Yes. Yes.
Just want to make sure we get all that in there.
Well, it's hard to keep all that together. By the way, sorry. Somehow my Zoom kicked off, so all that stuff you were just saying was with huge face. So huge face on Twitter.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So we've talked about the starting pitching for Tennessee. Obviously, you know, guys like Dolander, if it comes down to Beam in Game 3, they're going to need to pitch a little bit better than they did last weekend. The other part that I'm interested to see in how Tennessee responds, they really didn't field the ball all that well last weekend in the regional. There were some mistakes out there that are going to have to get cleaned up. I mean, I think it's fair to say they didn't play their best baseball last weekend. They still won all three games. So, obviously, that's the most important thing. You want to make sure you're winning at the end of the day. But I think there's room for improvement in a few different areas for Tennessee heading into this weekend. And I'm interested to see how they respond on that front, particularly fielding the ball. Going to have to be a little bit better than it was last weekend. It was sloppy.
Yeah, Cortland Lawson has been really good this year. Three errors on the weekend. And it looked like, you know, I mean, a couple runs directly from one of those in the Beam start, you know, against Georgia Tech. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that can get better. And, you know, there's just – it's that first weekend. You have a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations. Not to say that there's any less pressure or anything, but maybe it helps them. You know, you got the feet wet. You reacted to some adversity. You came back in some games. Maybe you play a sharper game this weekend. I don't know. But pressure remains high. Everybody expects them to win it all. Just gotta focus on the task at hand.
You have to focus on the task at hand one day at a time, as they say in the sports world.
That's right.
There's a whole lot of that takes place.
People should say that more often.
They should. Doesn't happen often enough. So, Joe, let me throw this question out there at you, because obviously we've talked a lot about this Tennessee team, how dominant they've been on the field, also some of their, I guess, attitude's the right word, or swagger, whatever you want to call it out there. It's very divisive. Some people love it, especially if you're a Tennessee fan, you love it. If you're not a Tennessee fan, a lot of people are not big fans of what Tennessee does out there on the field and the way in which they play the game. My question for you is, how good do you think this Tennessee team has been for college baseball as a whole? Do you think it's been good for college baseball as a whole? And if they continue to win here, do you think that maybe even casual baseball fans who may or may not tune into Omaha, maybe tune in to watch this Tennessee team with the way that they play the game?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think for people who follow the sport, they've been a huge topic. So I think, you know, I think it's probably brought some casual fans in, I guess. I mean, I think I still think the biggest impact is just that you're just talking about a college athletics program that has a huge fan base that, I mean, let's face it, weren't probably following college baseball obsessively a few years ago. And now, so you've got all those people who probably have gotten more into specifically college baseball. So you've added eyeballs just with one fan base that's just a huge, huge fan base, passionate, also long-suffering and starving for a winner. But I have really no idea, because we talk about all this stuff and the SEC Network talks about all this stuff, but I mean, has much of this stuff reached like Sports Center at large?
No, like I would say in terms of the casual fan, what it has done is you've gotten way more casual Tennessee fans invested into it. That's about where it stops to me, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Like there's a ton of Tennessee fans that, I mean, look, I know a lot of them that didn't care about college baseball, and now that Tennessee is really good, they all of a sudden care a lot about college baseball.
Sure. But again, and of course, And look, I'm a hypocrite because like I rip Blackhawks, I rip Chicago sports fans all the time because hockey didn't even exist as a sport for like 15 years there.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, oh, Blackhawks, oh yeah.
But you also just hate Chicago.
I love Chicago.
You hate all their sports teams, except the Cubs.
Let's see. White Sox, yes. Bears, yes.
Blackhawks, yes.
No.
Bulls, formerly.
I don't hate the Blackhawks at all. I think that their fans are, you know, it's kind of comical. And I don't even hate the Bulls. I hated those Bulls, you know.
Yep.
I don't hate the Bulls. Now they suck. Who cares? The Vanderbilt fan is all over the Tennessee fan for that. Like, oh, yeah, did you know the SEC tournament's in Hoover? Oh, yeah, welcome to – but, again, did this not happen for the Vanderbilt fan in, like, 04, 05 when Corbin started to really turn them into a – of course it did. That's what happens. You create a winner, and then all of a sudden a bunch of people who had no idea about what they're even winning at all of a sudden love what they're winning at because people like a winner. So, but I think that's the big impact is Tennessee fans – just the huge conglomerate of GBO or whatever you like to call it.
Anything other than GBO or VFL?
VFL.
Let's just go with Vol Nation.
Vol Nation?
Vol Nation. It's better than
those
two.
How about Vol Navy? I love the Vol Navy, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe though, like in Omaha, because I do think there's a lot of people who don't. I mean, I was like this. Like when I lived in the Midwest. My college baseball viewing, unless I may have gone out and caught a game here or there, you know, in East Lansing, basically, it consisted of watching some Omaha.
Yeah.
Maybe like a soup or something here. But for the most part, it's like, okay, you're down to like, you know, the NBA Finals have ended, Stanley Cup Final. Usually, it feels like in some years, both of them were done by then. It's like, well, you know, you got Major League Baseball regular season and you got the College World Series. Check out the College World Series. So, I don't know, do more people get interested just because this team has great players and also pisses people off a lot? I don't know.
Well, I think as a general rule in sports, it's always better when there's a villain, when somebody's the villain. And Tennessee, to their credit, they've not really shied away from that. Like, you know, I was listening, I came across Tony Vitello's interview on Bussin' with the Boys a few weeks ago with Lawan and Compton, and I mean, he's basically talking about that. He's like, yeah, I mean, we like it that people hate us. Like, I think that's a good thing in sports. Like, I think your sport is better when you have teams that a lot of people hate because they want to watch them lose, so at least they're watching at that point. So is that going to take place in Omaha where that's really the case? I don't know. Like, this, it's more of a, I think, an SEC thing right now. Like, a lot of SEC teams just hate Tennessee,
yeah,
and there's a limited amount of SEC teams that are going to be in Omaha, so we'll see what happens. But I do wonder, like, if you're a Vanderbilt fan this year, are you going to be watching Tennessee if they're in Omaha and like hate watching them, or are you just totally avoiding this at all times? I don't know. Like, I think probably different Vanderbilt fans will have different answers for that. But like between Vanderbilt and Arkansas, like there are going to be a lot of people watching Tennessee that are watching for them to lose.
Yeah, well, it's. For some people, it'll be like you hear that they're down like 7-3 in the seventh. You're like, okay, let's flip over. Come on, finish the job, Texas or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of hate watching, I think, for sure. You know, they are a polarizing team. You're right. I mean, it's mostly SEC teams. I do wonder when you get to that level, does it become like I've heard them compared to the Miami Hurricanes football of the 80s. I've heard they're compared to the Bad Boys. And I don't even know if those – like, did those – see, that's the thing. Those were in sports that were they were already very popular, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what does that do for a sport that's – which, personally, I don't consider a quote-unquote niche sport, but, some people do. I don't know. What's the definition of that? I mean, do you have to be at a certain level of ratings or else you're a niche sport? I mean, it's baseball. It's college baseball.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
look. College hockey is something that I also think is a big deal if you win a national championship.
Yeah. A lot of it's just regional, right? Like, I imagine, and I don't know this, but I imagine for the most part in the Big Ten, people really don't care all that much about college baseball, would be my guess.
No, for sure. No, I mean, absolutely. The difference down here is I mean, massive in terms of that. But up there, you know, college hockey is a big
exactly.
deal. So
just depends on where you are sometimes.
But, I mean, you know, it's still like the college hockey Frozen Four. I mean, people still are aware of it, right? It's on national TV. You know, it may not have huge ratings, but there's a lot. Like, what has huge ratings anymore?
NFL.
Right. And college football. Yeah. And March Madness.
Yeah. That's about it, though.
There you go.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols. What do you make of this series matchup against Notre Dame? Do you think this college baseball team, this Tennessee team, has been good for college baseball? We'll get to more of your thoughts on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away to see the stadium tour featuring Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts coming up at Nissan Stadium on June 30th. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to the stadium tour featuring Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts coming up at Nissan Stadium on June 30th. 615-737-1025. 1025. We're discussing the Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Luke on the text line says, I went to Tennessee, but my family is about as big as Vandy fans as there is. I know, it's weird. But even they hate watching the base Vols. So they just hate watching the baseballs. I think there's gonna be some of that. Now, I think that the scenario that you laid out may be maybe the way it goes. Like, I don't know how many people are going to be sitting there watching, like, the whole game.
Right. Ooh, first pitch.
But if, like, they're down, I don't know, 6-2 heading into the seventh inning, then you might see some people
kind of tuning to watch. Tracking the score and, you know, hoping they lose. Maybe Vanderbilt fans love, you know, last year it was like, ah, man, Vanderbilt makes a run to the final series. Tennessee gets bounced, you know. Whew. All right, they had their little run. Next year now, you know, and of course we've seen what's happened. It's actually really disappointing. This should have been one of those years where, like, they could have met in Omaha.
Yeah.
But Vanderbilt didn't hold up its end of the bargain. Real quick on the point about TV ratings. So I just went Sports Business Journal, the most watched telecasts in 2022. So it's Super Bowl, NFC Championship, AFC Championship, like everything. It's like you get to number, it's all NFL, then 8, State of the Union. That's NFL, NFL, NFL. You do have some Beijing Olympics. You do have the CFP Championship game.
Okay.
Number 17. NFL, 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 NFL. Academy Awards, 26. Beijing, NFL, 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 Beijing, NFL, NFL, NFL. Like, then you have, like, 49. You have NCIS Hawaii. But every
– shout out.
Actually, the Sugar Bowl, Baylor Ole Miss, got in the top 50.
Okay.
But other than that, you got, like, 60 minutes in there. And essentially, it is – so of those 50, it's – 35 are NFL games, and then a couple college football games.
It's pretty incredible.
And then, like, again, this is not sports. This is television, okay?
Right.
So, you know, now in the realm of, you know, I feel like the Women's College World Series, I mean, Oklahoma, absolutely dominant. But I think it's awesome that's on ABC now. I feel like, you know, that's getting increasing attention. I feel like baseball, like, I feel like there's just, I think there is more coverage of it. Part of that is like the conference networks for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the conference networks have been amazing for the non-mainstream sports.
Yep.
They've been amazing for that stuff, you know? So, and they have full half-hour shows breaking the stuff down and things like that. So, I feel like it's a lot more covered than it used to be, which is going to increase interest. But, you know, it's not like the ratings are huge or anything. But if Tennessee wins the national title, that is a major championship in this state. One.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is going to be really interesting to monitor here because, you know, we brought up the question of Tennessee, how good is it for college baseball? I do think there's some villain to them. Like, how much of the villain aspect of it is the team itself. I mean, you've got the Jordan Beck situation that we talked about earlier this week, rounding first, heading to second base. You know, Drew Gilbert, sometimes he can get after it out there a little bit. I mean, it's they got some guys that
– well, he's the catalyst.
He's the catalyst of it all. But they've got some guys that are not afraid to rub things in out there. How much of it do you think is Vitello, though, the way that he can – I don't want to say that he really does anything all that disrespectful out there, although ask some umpires, maybe he does. But he's very passionate in the way that he coaches the game. Do you think, like, Vitello has reached the status around the rest of the SEC where other fan bases are like, oh, my gosh, I can't stand that guy,
yeah.
Tony Vitello?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, you could look at some of the stuff the players do. Maybe some coaches would be like, well, I wouldn't let my players do the – so, well, speaking of Gilbert, I need to figure this out. So I had a half-hour Zoom call with Gilbert this week.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that, you know, you can talk to someone for a few minutes, like, okay, yeah, you're talking to a reporter, blah, 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 you're going to be – he's a freaking choir boy. Yeah. He is. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Like, it was like, who are you? Because I see you on the field. I mean, he is a Jekyll and Hyde guy, okay? So he is, like, to me, that's just – he's – like a little guy who had health issues as a kid and couldn't play baseball and stuff, and I think probably had to prove himself and probably got beat up by bigger kids growing. I don't know. Like, whatever it is, I feel like he's not – like it's not like Vitello made him how he is. That's how he is, okay? He's – and on the field, if you get any glimpses of the camera of him – obviously, everybody knows the bat flips, right? But if you get any glimpses of him, if you think Jordan Beck's middle finger was something, yeah. he is talking out there. So I – and then he's the one who came up. What I need to figure out is he's the one who came up with this, you know, this thing they do when they hit a double or a triple, which is like. And I asked him, I'm like, first of all, who came up with this? And finally, he admitted like it was him. So okay, so what is it? It's our double celebration, okay? But it's like almost like I can't believe this happened or something like
just both falling
like,
down.
And they call it like, is it John Boy? I don't know.
No idea.
But they have all this stuff, and Vitello lets them do it. I don't think Vitello, like, he's not involved in that stuff, right? He's like, yeah, they're kids. But if you track him during a game, I mean, he is in there intensely. He's any ball or strike call he doesn't like, he's going to say something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I do think that he, but then, you know, then it's same with him. Then it's not like he's talking trash in his pressers. He's saying funny jokes, but the on-field demeanor is like, whew, man. I mean, Frank Anderson, too, actually. I don't know. They just
I go back to that Alabama series where both of them just lost it. And Vitello bumps the up. Like, that's the stuff. Like, Vitello, he'll go over the line every now and then. You're just like, oh, boy. I don't know if that's going to end very well. But I do think it's pretty clear. Like, part of what I think some other fan bases don't like about him, and certainly some other coaches don't like about him, is – he is – I don't think he's all that concerned with the, quote, unwritten rules of baseball. Like, I don't think he cares. Like, if you want to flip the bat, fine, flip the bat. You don't want us flipping the bat, don't let up a home run. Like, I think that's kind of the way he views stuff, and I don't know how popular that is amongst his peers.
Well, I agree. But first of all, that's changed quite a bit in Major League Baseball, too, right?
Yes.
I mean, some of this,
to some degree, yeah.
To some degree. It's not – but I go back to this. College baseball – has an in-your-face thing to it. It does. Take a game that doesn't involve Tennessee. Just the celebration at the plate, things like that, when someone gets a big hit or hits a home run. Like, Tennessee's not the only team doing this stuff. And before this Tennessee team got good, there were other teams doing stuff like that. Had they taken it to a new level, I would agree with that. I mean, again, you know, middle of the play, got that middle finger flying. I mean, that's
different. New level.
It's a new level. And, yeah, like the Gilbert bat flips are like, okay, everybody, get excited, but also cover your head because it might be coming at your head here. You know, I mean, they are taking it to a new level, but it's also like some people I feel like are looking at this like baseball was this nice, calm thing, and everybody was so – and then these bad people came in. It's not that dramatic. They've just taken it to a new level. And, again, I'm all the way here for the one finger touch of the plate, the fake bat inspection. Like, if you're doing creative stuff, I love it. I'm more of that. Running around with the middle finger, yeah, you know. You do you, I guess.
But,
you
I guess. We better stop. We'll get in trouble. People get mad at us for not condemning the
God. The middle finger. Oh, boy. Let's not get that started again. Alan Hall on Twitter, Vandy fan. Very mad at us.
Ross in Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, for me, a big reason Tennessee is a villain is more so because of the fans instead of the team. Tennessee fans are just obnoxious, and that makes the university as a whole unlikable for me. This is coming from Ross from Clarksville. I will say, Tennessee fans are having a whole lot of fun with this baseball team, and I could see where if you're another fan base, you're like, okay.
I will say,
I don't know if I like those people.
You guys know how much I hate UT. And I absolutely love this baseball team.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm like following them. I'm rooting for them.
I don't think you hate UT as much as you say that.
No, I do. I do. Don't talk to me about basketball or football, but this baseball team, I just love them. Okay. I love everything about
them. That's interesting.
They're trolling. The cleats I sent you guys, they have daddy on the cleats. Like, yeah. They're just hilarious. It's amazing.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, I think that more people should look at it like you do.
Yeah,
I think some people don't.
No.
But yeah, you know,
Shell just stockpiling orange in her closet as we speak.
Yeah, how about that? Huh?
Definitely not. Doesn't go good with the hair, guys. The orange hair. No.
So I mean, but like the bat. Okay, so let's take like the men's basketball team. How do you dislike those guys? Like Josiah James and those guys. And Vescovy. Come on.
No, what? I don't dislike
Rick Barnes?
The people.
Come on, he's like everybody's grandpa.
But Kentucky basketball is my heart and soul.
So it's just because they beat you.
Well, yeah, and I care more about the basketball team.
I get it because Kentucky actually
get
beat them
going,
in a series.
There we go. Come on.
Is that what it is? Because Kentucky beat them in a series. Are they the only team that beat them in a series in the SEC? They are, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Now it's all so that's you just wanted to talk about that, basically.
It all makes sense.
It's you, Joe.
GB Joe says.
I do think the fans are a big part of it. Like, Tennessee fans have wholeheartedly embraced this baseball team. They are starving for a winner. And as we know, sometimes Tennessee fans and Vol Twitter can be a little in your face when they're winning.
Did you see how they destroyed Greg Olson this week?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, man. We don't have time because we got to go. But real quick, so he's all over this middle finger.
Yeah.
And then at one point he says to someone, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, I would never do such a thing. And then one of them found like this news story. Greg Olson, as he left the field, put a middle finger up to the camera. Yeah. So it's like, actually, you flipped off everyone, dude.
Yeah.
And then he seriously was just like, I apologize.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ball Twitter just cut your throat on Ball Twitter. But here's where I hear you on the annoying fans. That happens, right? And UT fans can be overwhelming. I mean, the thing for me is like the middle finger becomes like this amazing, yes, I
rallying
love the
point.
Finger. Yeah. But hey, man, come on. Like, you got to give these people like a little bit of room here to enjoy this, right? I mean, you're a Tennessee fan, lifelong Tennessee fan. How like, you know, pitch by pitch are you going to be into the rest of this tournament?
I mean, pretty invested. Like, you know, it's not football to me. I mean, it's going to be very difficult for something to approach Tennessee football. But
sure,
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm more invested in this baseball team than I was Tennessee basketball. I am.
Interesting. Like,
I don't know if that's the case for everybody, but I am. Like,
what if Tennessee basketball had gotten to like New Orleans?
Then it may be different.
And this in Omaha, that in New Orleans. What are you more into?
Probably the basketball, but I think part of the investment level for the baseball team is like the way they play. Like, they're just. They're fun to watch.
They are. You never know what they're going to do next. Real quick, Keith, Michelle Atello.
Hey, I kind of love it. Michelle Atello and Michelle LaPerry. So yes.
Dueling
we need Tony Vitello to come to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice mute from
Joe Retro. I just muted myself.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts. Coming up next, we'll get into the NFL. What non-playoff team in the AFC from last year are we most confident in making the playoffs this year? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.